Our scripture reading on this Christmas Day morning will be from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Luke 2, verses 1 through 7. Of course, the narrative of the birth of Christ Jesus. Hear now God's holy and inspired word. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May the Lord Himself add His blessing to it. As we, over the past month, have looked forward to this day, we've had a number of messages in preparation to coming here. We took note of the promise that was made by God to David that his seed would forever sit upon the throne. Furthermore, we noted David, even in his final words, was looking forward to that greater David, that greater son, that one who would come from his loins and would reign eternal. He looked forward to the coming of Christ. We saw the prophet Isaiah as he fleshed out more clearly the beauties of this coming Messiah and how he would bring peace and true peace to a fallen world. And today, on Christmas Day, as we celebrate the birth of this Christ Jesus, we are reminded from God's Word in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus indeed was born, fulfilling all the prophecies, was truly born in Bethlehem as the prophets had spoken, was truly the Son of David, was truly born King of Kings, would sit eternally upon the throne of David, would fulfill all the promises that God had made so that He might reign as our Savior. So somewhat briefly this morning, I'd like to consider Jesus' birth as it is recorded. And secondly, Jesus' royal lineage as it is established, and Jesus' ordained birth as it is accomplished. Jesus' birth as it is recorded. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out, and so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. I have a birth certificate. I'm sure I've lost it at some point. But it shows that I was born on a certain day in 1969 in the city of Zeeland, Michigan, which hospital I was born in, who my parents were, all the proper lineage is established there. But that wasn't always the case, and even today it isn't always the case everywhere, that the birth is so clearly and precisely recorded and saved for posterity. But in God's providence, for this most important birth of all of history, in a small town in Israel, Bethlehem, God's providence was so ordained so that everyone in the region would be recorded. And the birth of Jesus Christ would be recorded so that there would be no doubt of His location. There would be no doubt of His parentage and lineage. There would be no doubt that He was of the family of David. All of these things were important and imperative because they were a part of the gospel promise. God's promise that began all the way in the garden and continued throughout all of the Old Testament is coming to its apex, to its conclusion in Christ Jesus, and the details are recorded for all history so that there can be no doubt. All the people are called to be recorded. And so David and so Joseph and Mary go to the place of the city of David, to the place where they are to be counted because they are of that lineage. And it is there, even, that Jesus would be born, His birth recorded for all time. This way, the legal tribe from which Jesus was born would be notarized in state documents, something that was generally unheard of, but God ordained that it would be so. Consider a controversy if there were no record of Jesus' birth and His credentials. All the things that are so well established throughout history, that those ungodly, those critics still try to attack and to twist and to deny. But consider the controversy if there were not that record, and how the attacks would be multiplied. God thwarted that, not just to stop the attacks, but as an assurance to you, His people. We're reminded He knows our frailty. He is the one who built us, who designed us, who created us. He knows our weaknesses. And He gives us every confidence, establishes every fact, so that we need not doubt. Even in the weakness and the frailty of our mind, God condescends to say, "See, I have established it and I have proven it and I have recorded it so that you can be confident." Even the Roman civil government will testify of the lineage of Christ. This is later used to establish the lineage of Christ, even in the next chapter, in chapter 3, as it goes through all of His history, all of His lineage, bringing us back to Christ Himself, to David Himself, His Father. A birth certificate of sorts, which was unheard of for most people, is given for our Lord. Secondly, we see the royal lineage of our Savior is established. Not only is His birth recorded, His location and His time, but also His lineage is recorded. He is in the city of David, and we're reminded of Matthew 1, and Luke 3 as well, but Matthew 1, which lays out the entire lineage, the entire genealogy of Christ, bringing Him back to David and bringing Him back even to Adam. Consider just a few verses from Matthew 1, the genealogy of our Lord, 16 through 20. "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. From the captivity in Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her father, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he found thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" God establishing generation by generation the lineage of our Lord. God establishing the fulfillment of all of His promises. Some of you can probably trace your lineage back many, many generations. I can just a few. Our daughter spent a lot of time and brought it back a few more generations. But there's a terminus, a limit there that does not go back very far. And this is living in the modern age, 20th, 21st centuries. But for our Lord Jesus Christ, the lineage is traced back generation by generation. 14 here, 14 there, 14 more generations. An unheard of accomplishment. Why? Because God, in His sovereignty and in His grace, establishes that His Word is true and every word of His promise is being fulfilled. And so we can be given comfort and assurance that on this Christmas Day, what we are celebrating is truly the fulfillment of God's promises to send a Savior to you. That this Jesus being born in Bethlehem was no fluke, but it was the perfect fulfillment of God's promise to you. That your sins would be forgiven. That you would be adopted into the very household of God. That at the end of our days here on earth, it is not the end, but it is the entrance into glory. Life eternal, with Jesus, with God, with all those saints who have gone before. The fulfillment of all the promises. God is pleased to establish every detail that we need not doubt. So the genealogy of Christ is meticulously identified. And in that identity, we're reminded of His ancestors, His forebears by the flesh, and their weaknesses. And so we can have comfort that if our Lord comes from the line of these and saves them, He can certainly save us. And He does. He comes through the line of David, of Judah, of Shem, of Abraham, from the line of Methuselah, and of David, and of Adam. Not to mention other notables such as Ruth and Rahab and Rachel. The line and lineage, the forebears of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is well accounted for because He is the one who is promised by God. And He who covered the sins of David and his murder and his adultery. Who covered the sins of Solomon and his setting up high places. Who covered the sins of all those saints who had gone before, who had offended the holiness and righteousness of God. They were saved by faith looking forward. We'll see that as we go forward in Hebrews. We get to chapter 11. We see all of these great heroes of the faith. The forebears of our Lord, who were saved by looking forward to Him. And so we know that He can save us as well. When we are united to Him, not by blood, but by true faith. Through the blood that He Himself has shed. There's no other man in all of history that has such an extensive and complete genealogy as our Lord. Going back all the way to Adam, generation by generation, being accounted for. It's no accident that the events occurred as they did. Because God is pleased to show us the fulfillment of all of His promises. Genesis 35. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Jacob set a pillar on her grave, which is the pillar of Rachel's grave even to this day. Bethlehem being singled out way back with Jacob and Rachel. Or we think of Elimelech and Naomi, who are also from Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are from old and from everlasting." The census, the arrival of strangers and foreigners to Bethlehem, the genealogy of both Joseph and Mary, they all testify of the veracity, of the truth, of the angel's words to Mary and Joseph. "This child is conceived by the Holy Spirit. He's come to save His children." Dearly beloved, we need not be worried. Not only do we know from the nature of God that He is true to His Word, but He has shown us step by step that He has been faithful. So we know also that when He says there's no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved in this Jesus, that that is true. That we do find salvation in Him. So finally, Jesus' ordained birth is accomplished. So it was while they were there that the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son. The days were completed. From all of eternity, God having established all of the details, laying it out for us all the way from the garden, throughout, step by step, generation by generation, throughout the Old Testament, promise upon promise, and finally we get the apex, the pinnacle right here, and we see the days were completed. Not a random accounting, not a random number of days, not a happenstance, not chance. But God's plan has come to its point in Bethlehem on this day with these children of David and this promised Son of God at this particular time. The days are completed. It's not just talking about the days of gestation, the days of pregnancy. But the days of the fulfilling of all of the promises of God. The day that Adam looked forward to when he was cast from the garden, knowing that the Messiah was coming. The day that Abraham looked forward to. The day that David looked forward to. The day that all the saints looked forward to. We can look back and say, that day was completed. And God was true to His Word, and He sent Jesus some 2,000 years ago. It was pictured throughout all of Scripture, and we've noticed some of that in this past month. We saw it pictured in the Noah as God saved a remnant from the flood. We see it in the Judges as man by nature does that which is right in his own eye, and God graciously draws them back. We noted it in the narrative of Boaz and Ruth with that kinsman redeemer. We see it in the temple design as God fashioned every aspect to point us to the blood that must be shed to redeem us. The days are now complete. The Redeemer has come. Salvation has been shown to His people. It had been promised to Abraham, to David, and to the prophets. Our Lord declared Himself that all the Scripture speaks of Him. And that day is complete. And now, in a few minutes, we'll come before the table and we'll be reminded that the day of salvation was complete as well. We're some 33 years after the celebration of the birth of our Lord. This same Christ Jesus hung upon the cross, again fulfilling the promises of God. He died, suffered hell. His blood was shed, His body was broken, so that we, His children, could be saved, that we might live. And God's promises we've seen and we know are always true. Amen.